This is the Bob Soucy Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Brady in the backfield off Brady's left hip. Amendola started in motion. Brady takes the snap. Rolls right, throws to the end zone. Catches Brady. Touchdown, Danny Amendola!
The Bob Soucy Show is your source for in-depth Patriots coverage and all things NFL. Join Bob for exclusive interviews, statistical breakdowns, and the best coverage of your New England Patriots.
Gostkowski trying to win it in overtime. The snap, the spot, the kick is airborne to the upright, and the kick is a game winner!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, hands extended. Takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski!
Now, here's your host, the radio voice of your New England Patriots, Bob Soucy.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to the show as we come to you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, just down the hall from the Patriots locker room, where the workday is done, at least for some of the Patriots, including Rob Ninkovich, who's going to be kind enough to take some time and join us on today's show. We'll also hear from my partner on the radio broadcast, Scott Zolak, Jackie Britton of Patriots.com and Patriots Today, and Jeff Joniak, who's the voice of the Chicago Bears, to preview Sunday's matchup of the Patriots and the Bears, of course, with New England atop the AFC East at 5-2. But without further ado, as we invite you to email us on webradio@patriots.com and dial in at 1-855-PATS-500, here is the Patriots' Rob Ninkovich joining us. And Rob has noted it's a little a downtime for you from football, at least for now. You're getting ready for Sunday's game, and we do appreciate you taking time to join us in the studio.
Oh, there we go. I'm here. I was gone. I came back.
You know, you guys back to work today after a little bit of a layoff over the weekend. How much did you enjoy the opportunity to get some R&R, assuming you did, after Thursday's
game? Of course I did. Yeah, that was, that's a tough stretch there when you go Sunday right to that Thursday game. You don't have much time. So, you know, I definitely enjoyed the weekend and, took as much as I could to recover. And I feel great. I feel wonderful.
Feel a little strange to wake up Sunday morning and not have a game to go to?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little off the norm schedule, but it was cool just to know that I had all day to kind of relax and I could watch some games and, you know, just hang out at the house.
The thing is, you guys have been going at it since the spring with the OTAs into training camp, of mm-hmm. course, in the summer, and then you have the preseason, and now you're at the midpoint of the regular season about to play game 8. At this stage, is that little break more refreshing mentally or physically for you?
Definitely physically. Your body, it gets beat up pretty good during the season, so anytime you could get extra, relaxation time, it's huge. So, you know, mentally, when you do it a while, you know, I've been doing it for a while now, you kind of get used to it and you know what to expect. So it's just the physicality of it that really takes its toll on you.
How does taking care of your body change when you get to this stage of the season, the maintenance and the conditioning, the rest that you want to get?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. It pretty much make your season. I mean, the way that you treat yourself towards the end of the year, because everyone's going to get beat up. That's just the nature of the game. So it doesn't matter, you know, who you are come week 8, you know, you're going to start feeling it. And then come, you know, the last couple weeks of the season, you're definitely feeling it. So it's huge just to make sure that you're staying on top of everything when it comes to taking care of your body.
Of course, we see in the NFL, too, where attrition takes its toll, more so now than maybe at the beginning of the season, and certainly for this team. You've been asked a lot about the adversity you guys have faced losing players to injury like Jerod Mayo. There's a report that Chandler Jones is going to be out for a month or so. There's the phrase, next man up. How does that carry extra meaning here in New England, focusing on literally the next man stepping up and doing the job?
Well, you know, unfortunately, in this game, you're going to have some injuries, and you know, you just have to continue to be mentally tough and know that it's not just one guy that's going to, you know, win the game for you. It's the team. So collectively, you know, you have to come together. You understand that losing Jerod was a big loss for us because he's such a great player. But, you know, again, it's not just one guy that can step up and take over his role. It's everyone that has to take a step up and play better and communicate better and do better across the board. So, again, it's unfortunate, but that's the game that we play. You understand that coming into the year, that starting the season, you're not going to be the same team when you finish the season.
Now, as one of the veterans, one of the leaders on this team, by example and word, how do you try to establish that tone day to day and make sure that guys are focused on the task at hand?
I mean, I think it's being consistent as far as coming in and doing your job every day. You know, again, I'm not one to be a hurrah, rah-rah guy and, you know, talk a lot. So I'm going to come in and do my job and do it to the best of my abilities. And, you know, again, that being said, the young guys, you know, they've never experienced how long the season is. They haven't experienced the way that your body's going to feel towards the end of the year. So you, as an older guy, you just got to, you know, show them the right way of doing things.
I was thinking about that with the layout of the locker room, and it's changed since last year, my first mm-hmm. season with the Patriots. And a guy like Casey Walker, for example, a young player is near you. Do you go to a player like that first, or do you let him come to you so you can counsel him and advise him on making sure that he takes care of his body and all those things you've discussed?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I'm very open when it comes to guys approaching me. You know, I have a good relationship with everybody on the team. So, comfortable with the guys coming up to asking me questions, or, you know, a guy that's new to the team, going up to him and talking to him about, you know, the schemes, or, you know, how things are going with learning the playbook, and or even guys that just are becoming, you know, coming into a new role that, you know, they might have some questions on some things. So, again, just being open for anything, you know, guys that want to ask questions, I'm always around.
Visiting with Rob Ninkovich of the Patriots, of course, and speaking of new guys coming in, one of them, Akeem Ayers, just acquired from the Tennessee Titans, was here today. Your first impressions mm-hmm. of him?
No, I think that, you know, he's a young guy. You know, when everyone comes in, they're 25. I'm like, wow, that guy's young. So that just makes me, I guess, feel old. But I'm not old. I feel young. I feel great at 30.
What do you hit 40?
That's the one thing. You know, when you tell anybody else, like, hey, I'm getting old, they're like, what? You're 30. But everything else except football, you know. But, you know, again, no, he's, you know, he was in Tennessee and, you know, we'll see if you come in here and help us out.
Maybe it's a sign of your elder statesmanship, but I noticed in your locker there's a new nameplate, Dr. Nink. Does that have anything to do with it?
I'm kind of a WebMD guy, okay. So and anytime the doctors are in, I'll come check out people, make sure that they're okay, give them some, you know, if they need a second opinion on things, they can come to me. And, you know, I like to Google search things, any type of injury, see the recovery time, different ways to, you know, help guys out. You know, I've been doing that for a while now. The trainers don't like that too much. The doctors don't like that. But, you know, I'm just trying to help.
I was going to say, because knowing a few doctors myself, one of the things that they don't like is when somebody has done the research on the internet, because there's so much that's out there.
Yeah. You know, but it's a joke. It's a big going joke that, you know, Dr. Ninkovich, it sounds kind of scary anyway. It's Dr. Kevorkian-esque type last name there. So, no, it's just a funny thing that over the years, you know, they think that I know it all, I guess. So they call me Dr. Ninko.
And somewhere down the line, maybe there's some tie-in you can make in your role on this team, especially getting to opposing quarterbacks. You know, I don't know if there's any way to translate that nickname and you know, that reputation in the locker room out onto the field or not.
Well, I don't want to hurt anybody, but I guess I'll have some knowledge on if they did sustain an injury.
Yeah, we won't go nearly as far as Dr. Kevorkian.
No. That's excessive. But
with Rob Ninkovich of the Patriots, and on the subject of a player coming in like Akeem Ayers, he's got to learn this defense. And you're a guy that has a lot of different roles. You're kind of a hybrid between a defensive mm-hmm. end and a linebacker. Does that understanding that you have of the whole conceptual defense of the Patriots enable you maybe to provide some different advice to a guy like him who can play both as a down lineman and an outside mm-hmm. backer?
You know, the biggest thing with doing that is understanding what you are every single play. So, because there's different mindsets to when you're defensive end or when you're in coverage. You kind of have to be able to flip a switch there and understand exactly what you're doing. And, you know, again, I think that comes with just doing it and experience. So anything that he needs to know, I mean, I'm open for, again, questions, anything that he needs to try and understand, because it's definitely it's not, I wouldn't say it's an easy thing to do when your hands down and you're getting off the ball and then all of a sudden you're in coverage. So it's two different things.
And I mentioned Casey Walker earlier, and one of the things I asked him last week is if he looked at examples around the league when he was a Carolina Panther practice squad player and noted guys who didn't make a team, the active roster, the first go-round. And a guy like yourself, for example, you had to really travel a long road to get to the point where you are now, where you have financial security, where you've established yourself as an every down player in the NFL, and a good one at that, one of the best at what you do. Going back to that road to get here with the Dolphins, with the Saints, what enabled you to persevere? What was it within you that said, you know, someday I can be one of those guys, maybe the way Casey Walker thinks about himself today?
I mean, first and foremost, it comes with confidence within yourself and your abilities. You know, in this league, it's right place, right time. You know, when I was in Miami, they had Jason Taylor and Joey Porter. They weren't going to throw me in there with those guys, you know, in front of me. So it was just, and then in New Orleans, I had a knee injury that after my rookie year, I was playing. I was the third DN. I was playing probably 40 snaps a game before I tore my ACL. So I had an opportunity and that window closed, and then it took, you know, a few years to get another opportunity. And, you know, I knew that just being persistent and understanding that there, if I was to be given another opportunity, I'd take that and run with it. So knowing that this team, you know, they give you an opportunity to come in and do your job, and understanding that if you are, you know, a productive player, they're going to keep you around. And, you know, that's one of the first things I remember from Bill's first meeting when I got here in training camp. And, you know, he said, I don't care who you are, where you came from, you know, what your salary is, where, what round you're drafted. If you can play, you know, we'll find a place for you. So, you know, I knew that if I can go out there and I could turn some heads and make some plays, that I'd have an opportunity to stick around. So I think it's just being persistent.
I would imagine, speaking with Rob Ninkovich in our final minutes here, that's the one thing that you want. What all of us would want is really a fair opportunity, an equal opportunity to prove yourself. And here in New England, that seems to exist, as you mentioned, for everybody who comes into training camp.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, and as I've been here a few years and I understand that concept, then now I'm the guy that I have to continue to prove that I can still do it. Because there's young, hungry guys that want to come and prove that they can do it and they can do it better. So you just got to have a mentality. It's just got to be a part of you that, you know, not this time, you know, you're not going to get it this time. Maybe as I get it, you know, into the late 30s. you know, I still feel young. I can still move. So, you know, again, I think that it's a mentality. It's being mentally tough and, you know, competitive.
Now, we noted at the top that maybe your work day is done in a sense here at Gillette, but I can't imagine that all your preparation for the day is over and done with. How much time will you put in with regards to Sunday's matchup?
You know, I'll do a lot of, you know, you have to study your opponents. That's huge on characteristics and how, you know, how offensive tackles set, you know, what their characteristics are. And for me, you know, being a multiple position guy, you have to study not only the tackles, but just the schemes and guys I'll be in coverage with and or covering against. And, it's a full-time job here, and it's not just when we're in the building. You take it home with you, and you know, it's something that I enjoy.
You mentioned how tackle set. I've heard guys say that you can even look at the pressure a lineman applies on his fingertips, for example, to see whether he's poised to run block or pass.
There's a ton of keys that over time, you know, you just pick up on, and you're able to see, you know, if a guy's heavy, if a guy's light, his pass set versus run set. And, it's just something that over time it's easier to get a feel for.
How about the awareness you have to have with the Chicago offense, first in the backfield with Matt Forte being such a dangerous dual threat behind you?
Yeah, I mean, he leads the league in reception, so he's definitely a big target for Cutler when he gets in trouble. He likes to throw the check down. So, you know, we got to be on top of that. And he's also, you know, a good outside runner, and he's smooth. You know, I think the way that he runs is a very smooth style, and you know, he's able to find the openings and make some yards. So again, it's a big challenge for us, and I'm excited.
Were you a Bears fan as a kid growing up?
Actually, I think they were, you know, I was a huge Cowboys fan in the 90s. Back in the 90s, the Bears were going through a rough stretch of, you know, Cade McNown and Rashawn Salaam, and just not very good team. So I was a big Cowboys fan. I always wanted to be a running back, a big Emmitt Smith fan, and you know, I just I grew out of that fast.
You know, Bill's been known to put number 50 at least.
Yeah, I've been lobbying for that for years because I've caught a few touchdown passes in college. Orton, you know,
Kyle Orton,
friend of mine.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to sack him a few times throughout my career. But I caught a couple touchdown passes in college. But I guess I'll just stick to defense for now. And if they ever need me, we got a pretty good tight end. I mean, Gronk's pretty good. You know, he's pretty good. Goal line tight end. I'll give him that.
And Gronk plays tight end almost with a linebacker's mentality, it seems.
Yeah, he's pretty physical and aggressive. I'm happy that he's on my team.
And just a final thought on Gronk. When you see him the way he was last Thursday, and you know, Gronk breaking tackles, Gronk playing with so much emotion, does that carry over on the defensive side? Do all the units kind of feed off that?
Oh, definitely. He's a beast. You know, everyone knows that he's a tremendous athlete. He's a big guy. I mean, every time I see him, I'm like, man, if I was that big, what would I be doing out there, you know? But he's a great teammate and tremendous athlete. So again, I'm happy that I'm not trying to tackle him.
Otherwise, you might age even faster if you had to tackle a guy
basis. He'd be dishing out the hits to me.
Well, Rob, still a very young man and very much in your prime.
30, in my prime.
And we appreciate your time today.
All right, thanks.
Thanks so much. Rob Ninkovich with us, back with more after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. at a Microsoft store near you.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com Radio.
Tom takes the snap, throwing to the near side, catch is made by Vereen, and he's in for a Patriots touchdown!
Have a hot Patriots take? Call Bob on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
And welcome back. Our thanks once again to Rob Ninkovich of the Patriots, who prepared to play the Chicago Bears Sunday at 1 at Gillette Stadium. The Pats, after 4 games in 18 days, now with a little bit of time additionally to prepare for the Chicago team. And, of course, the Bears, an up-and-down team thus far in 2014, with the Patriots coming off last Thursday's win over the Jets. The Bears are coming off a loss at home against the Miami Dolphins, their third loss in as many games at Soldier Field this season, and the Bears are 3-4. And the one constant for Chicago when it's failed this season thus far, turning the ball over, and in particular quarterback Jay Cutler, 10 turnovers by the quarterback, 7 interceptions, 3 fumbles for Cutler in the 4 defeats, whereas he's played turnover free in the 3 wins. In Chicago, very talented team offensively with Matt Forte, who leads the league in receptions, 50 plus as a running back, and ranks 5th in rushing offense, complemented by those big, very talented receivers Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, not to mention Santonio Holmes and tight end Martellus Bennett. So it is a very good offense potentially for Chicago coming in. And again, so much of it falls on Cutler's shoulders protecting the football. And we'll hear more about him as the show progresses from both the head coach of the Chicago Bears, Mark Trestman, and the aforementioned running back for Chicago, Matt Forte. And a little bit later in our second hour as well, we'll speak with the longtime voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak. The Patriots did make a move today. They officially announced the trade for Akeem Ayers, the linebacker from the Tennessee Titans. Ayers was in the house today at Gillette Stadium. We saw him in the locker room after practice wearing number 52 now for the Patriots. He wore 56 for Tennessee as the 39th overall pick in 2011. He's had more than 230 tackles in his brief NFL career with 9 sacks and 2 interceptions in 50 games, including 43 starts. Did have some knee issues to resolve in the offseason, underwent 2 surgeries reportedly dealing with patellar tendon issues. He was position for the Tennessee Titans coming into this season in a new defense with a new head coach, of course, in Ken Whisenhunt, and apparently it wasn't quite the best fit with Ayers and the scheme employed now by the Tennessee Titans. But the track record is a good one for Akeem Ayers out of UCLA, and again, the Patriots shorthanded without Jerod Mayo, plus the news reported by the Boston Globe first that Chandler Jones will be out for about a month, according to the Globe, Shalice Manzi-Young, due to a hip problem. So again, without Chandler Jones in practice today, the Patriots preparing for Chicago with Akeem Ayers, the newest member in the fold. There have also been reports the Patriots have signed former Buffalo Bill, among other teams that he's played for, defensive lineman Alan Branch. We just got the practice report, and we'll run down it very quickly. Chandler Jones, as you know, did not participate. Meanwhile, for the Patriots, the good news, limited participation for the likes of Dan Connolly and Brian Stork, two offensive linemen who've missed the last week in the case of Connolly and the last couple of weeks in the case of Stork with concussions. Dominique Easley had limited participation today for the Patriots. Nate Ebner back in practice on a limited basis, coming off two absentee appearances or two games that he's missed with a finger issue. Same for Cameron Fleming, also out for the Pats last couple of weeks with a finger injury. He did participate on a limited basis today for the Patriots. Meanwhile, full participation for Tom Brady, Brandon Browner, Jamie Collins, Dante Hightower, and Devin McCourty, all of whom have been on the practice report over the course of the last couple of weeks. Meanwhile, for the Chicago Bears, Martellus Bennett did not participate today, apparently dealing with a hamstring injury. The young cornerback, Kyle Fuller, also did not participate. He fractured his hand reportedly in the game on Sunday against Miami. The good news for the Bears is that he will not need surgery, and there was still a possibility as of yesterday that he could be ready by week's end to play against the Patriots. And Danny McCray, who's a safety for Chicago on a reserve basis, did not participate today because of a knee issue as well. Limited participation for Jonathan Bostic and Lance Briggs, to veteran linebackers Chris Conte, with a shoulder injury as a safety, was a full participant today for the Chicago Bears. So the Bears, again, coming off their loss, held to 14 points by the Miami Dolphins on Sunday at home. Now 0-3 at Soldier Field, whereas the Patriots began a three-game homestand with a win over the New York Jets last Thursday. And let's revisit the highlights of that matchup of two AFC East division rivals.
And my computer's frozen.
And as Kevin Collins, our producer, efforts to resolve the problem and looks to unfreeze to defrost that computer program, we can recap somewhat what transpired at Gillette Stadium on Thursday. The Patriots struck quickly, and Tom Brady hit Shane Vereen with a sensational diving grab for the first score of the night. The Jets would have to come back and settle for field goals repeatedly, but in doing so, consumed a lot of time. They had drives of 10 plays plus throughout the first half, consuming 5 minutes plus off the clock, but repeatedly forced to settle for Nick Folk field goals. Eventually, the Jets took a 9-7 lead, but then Brady was able to strike again for the Patriots with another touchdown. The Pats moved in front of the Jets. New England got a field goal from Steven Gostkowski just before halftime, and in the second half, the Patriots saw the quarterback in Brady, after throwing two TDs to Vereen in the first half of the game, connect on a sensational catch by Danny Amendola on a third and goal to go from the 19. Again, a touchdown for the Patriots, with Amendola playing a significant role in the win over the New York Jets. The Patriots eventually prevailing by the 27-25 final. And that pleasant sound we hear is the voice of Kevin Collins after the other pleasant sound, the musical tone from his computer with a reboot.
We're getting there, Bob.
Radio show. And this is
the joys of live radio.
I was going to say the joy of live radio, Kevin. The challenge of live radio, and the pleasure and the pride that one derives from trying to tread water long enough in a verbal sense here, in a metaphoric sense. Well, you resolve that problem.
And it's always fun because we have so many issues that people never know about because you and I put them out off the air. So it's always fun when you actually have one that you can share with the class, so to speak.
And let's share with the class what else is coming up today after the computer is rebooted and we can revisit the highlights of Thursday's game in the wake of a Patriots 27-25 victory over the New York Jets. Now that I have taken out my notes from that contest, the color analyst on the Patriots Radio Network, the one and the only Scott Zolak, will join us. And a bit later on, of course, Jackie Britton will be in studio. And then we'll talk via our phone line, the Ace Ticket Hotline, with Jeff Joniak, the longtime voice of the Chicago Bears. But again, the Patriots winning over the New York Jets by the 27-25 final score on Thursday night. The touchdown passes from Brady to Shane Vereen for 49 yards and 3 yards in the first half of play. The 19-yard touchdown throw to Danny Amendola with an acrobatic grab before Amendola eventually sealed the contest, at least in part by recovering an onside kick attempt by the Jets. And then, of course, watch from the sideline when Chris Jones blocked Nick Folk's 58-yard game-winning try with what would have been his longest field goal in his career, marking his first miss of 2014. Let's go back and revisit Thursday night's AFC East showdown of the Patriots and the New York Jets playing out of desperation.
But I got to give our team a lot of credit. You know, they played 4 games in whatever it is, 17, 18 days, whatever it is. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of a break here, a couple of days to kind of catch our breath, and then we're right back at it.
Brady off the shotgun step, has time. Tom pulls up, fires deep down the right side. There's a wide open receiver, Shane Vereen, diving, has the catch, has a touchdown!
Bang, bang! What a way to start football on a Thursday night at Gillette Stadium!
Well, we start off the year, what, 0-1, so 5-1 since is not bad, considering, you know, where we're at, so... Hopefully we can be a lot better. We've got to make the plays, got to make the improvements, got to execute it when it matters. And but it feels good to be where we're at.
Brady has time, throws to the end zone, grabbed by Vereen between two defenders for a second touchdown of the night for Shane Vereen and the Patriots.
Yeah, he played great. He really a workhorse in all areas.
Brady waits on the snap from Lindell. He has it, rolling right, he's chased. He pumps. Tom Brady lost it out of bounds. Got away from the rush. There was a late hit, and now Jordan Debbie comes over.
Point,
and he levels the defender for the Jets, who apply the late stick on Brady. And
he
now flags Brady to the turf.
Should have had a flag on Brady getting thrown to the ground. Debbie's going to get called for retaliation.
Third and goal to go from the 19. Tom in the pocket. He's going to run it to his left. He throws on the move. Amendola makes a spectacular grab.
What?
A twisting, diving catch and a touchdown for the Patriots.
Nobody works harder than Danny. He's working every day. Offense, scout team, special teams. He's always works hard. He's a really competitive kid. Tough. No question about it.
It's a 58-yard attempt for Fulk. Tanner Purdom will snap. Ryan Quigley will hold. His right knee is down with 5 seconds to go. Fulk for the win. The snap of the spot. He swings the right leg. The kick is blocked. The kick is blocked. And the Patriots celebrate as time expires. New England wins it over New York.
You know, obviously really happy for Chris at the end. You know, after what happened last year, I thought it was so fitting that, you know, that he made that play. So that was awesome.
Head coach of the Patriots, Bill Belichick, of course, talking first about Danny Amendola during that montage so brilliantly produced by Kevin Collins, who so calmly and coolly solved our computer issues. And, of course, Bill Belichick as well talking about Chris Jones, who found atonement in a sense on Thursday night, going back to last year's matchup of the Patriots and the Jets almost a year to the day in Week 7 of the NFL campaign in late October, although in a different setting, at the Meadowlands MetLife Stadium, when the Patriots and the Jets were pressed into overtime and Folk lined up for a 50-plus yard field goal try, but Chris Jones became the first NFL player identified for the violation of a new rule in the NFL a year ago, preventing players trying to block a kick from pushing teammates into the line. Jerome Boger was the referee that day. Chris Jones was identified. Folk and the Jets got a second chance and eventually prevailed over the Patriots a year ago in Week 7. And in fact, we caught up with Chris Jones in the locker room, and once again, we will travel back in time to 2013 and as well to last Thursday night with the Patriots' young defensive lineman, second-year defensive tackle Chris Jones, with his thoughts about what transpired not only a year ago, but more recently and, of course, more relevantly on Thursday in the New England win over the New York Jets.
A career-long equaling field goal from 56 yards out for the win in overtime. Quigley to hold. Wet knee down at the 46. Kick is airborne to the uprights. It's sailing toward the sticks, and the kick is no good. He missed it. Off to the left. There's a penalty marker down.
Unsportsmanlike conduct. Defense, number 94, for pushing the opponent into the pile. 15-yard penalty, automatic, first down.
Penalty on the rookie, Chris Jones. New rule.
It was my mistake, and you know, nobody else's. I just got to, you know, man up to it and then fix it next time.
Snap in the spot. Foot swings the right leg. The kick is driven toward the uprights, and the kick is good. He got a second chance to win it for the Jets, and he did here in overtime. New York 30, the Patriots 27.
It's a bad loss right there.
It's a 58-yard attempt.
We try to work on, you know, every situation as much as we can, and you know, we work on that situation. I mean, about every week, we're prepared and ready for it.
Tanner Purdom will snap. Ryan quickly will hold. His right knee is down with 5 seconds to go.
It's win or lose in that point, and so I mean, there's a lot of stress in the situation, but you really just got to keep cool and understand to do your job. And that's what everybody did, and that's why we were all able to get in there with the push and up and block the field goal.
Hope for the win. The snap of the spot. He swings the right leg. The kick is blocked. The kick is blocked. It's rolling inside the 35 for the 31. And the Patriots celebrate as time expires. New England wins it over New York.
I was in the middle. We had our guys in the middle. And then we had guys rushing on the outside. And you just had to. I did my job in trying to get push, and so did everybody else. And so with the collective push in the middle, that allowed me to get in there and get up and block the field.
What's that feeling like when you raise your hand? I mean, you tell them it's the opposite of full, but here's the thud. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it depends on how much it hits your hand, honestly. Yeah. If it hits just the fingertips, you're just like, oh, I hope it doesn't go through. But I felt it pretty good in my palm, so I know I got it pretty good. And then I saw it go past the line and hit the ground, and I was really excited. I started running off the field, actually, but I didn't know what to do at the moment. And then I kind of just calmed down. But it was awesome. It was awesome to realize we won the game.
5-2. Woo! Get through week. Man, what a way to survive right there.
The first miss of the year for Nick Folk. He had to hit it low. Solder, along with Chris Jones, leaping in the middle, and it was Chris Jones that appeared with his left hand who blocked the kick. And it was Chris Jones a year ago in overtime who was called for that pushing penalty. And it's Chris Jones this evening who denies Nick Folk and the New York Jets.
Do you believe in karma?
It's a great feeling. Obviously, the difference of a win and a loss is night and day. And to pull out the win was awesome. Last year was last year. Unfortunately, we lost last year, but this year is what we're focusing on, and we won today, and that's all that mattered.
And indeed it did. That was all that mattered on Thursday night. Chris Jones blocking that field goal to help the Patriots to a 5-2 record atop the AFC East while the Jets suffer their sixth straight loss. And Kevin Collins, I said the day after on our flagship station for the Patriots Radio Network, 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston, that the two most convenient storylines for a broadcaster or writer covering sports to chronicle, and really the two best storylines, are one, the underdog rising up and prevailing, and two, redemption. And in the case of Chris Jones, it's really both of those storylines that you think about.
Kind of wrapped into one.
Yeah, absolutely. In those final seconds against the Jets, redemption for what transpired a year ago, but also, you know, an underdog by the NFL standards, a player who was drafted late by the Houston Texans, let go by the Texans, later picked up and briefly employed by the Tampa Bay Bucks in the preseason, let go, found a home in New England, was one of the top pass rushers for the Patriots and certainly one of the top rookies in the NFL when it came to getting to the passer a year ago. And once again this season, pressed into extensive duty defensively, suffered an injury early in the year, going back to preseason, in fact, against the Washington Redskins in August, came back from that, and there he was against the Jets once more in Week 7, once more in late October, this time blocking Nick Folk's game-winning field goal try. And at this time, of course, no whistle, no flag. Time expired, and Chris Jones got to celebrate with the Pats.
Yeah, it was a special night in the words of Scott Zolak, attaboy Bob, for realizing it that quickly after it happened. It took me at least 5 minutes, you know, kind of to come back into the studio and decompress and compose myself to do the post-game show, because I come right off the field, straight through this tunnel behind us. And it took me a couple minutes to think about, you know, possibly making that connection. And we did before the show started. But that a boy on you for coming up with it like that, you know, off the bat in the broadcast booth. It's impressive.
Well, you know, every now and then, you know what they say about a blind squirrel or
a
dumb broadcaster every now and then. But that's what we do our homework for.
No,
that's why we
do our homework. Absolutely, and that's why you're in the booth and I'm not, pretty much, other than the pipes, you know. But that was very impressive. And you even beat Zoe to the punch, which is rare. He's always first to get a word in.
Well, the thing, too, about a block kick, and it goes back even to the game when the Patriots won at Minneapolis against the Minnesota
Vikings.
That's
the first thing I thought of was Chandler Jones
running back the block kick, blocking a Blair Walsh attempt and running it back. He blocked it and he recovered it, and then he scored on it against the Minnesota Vikings. Really a turning point to put that game away for the Patriots in Week 2 this year.
Yeah.
But when that kick is blocked, generally from where I stand, it's chaos at the line of scrimmage. You
sure is.
Usually have no idea, when a ball is blocked in the middle of the line, of who got it first. You'll see a player, with a guy comes off the edge, and Kyle Arrington nearly got to a couple of full kicks the other night and came very, very close to a field goal block or two, in fact. Well, you see it then, but when the ball is kicked low into the middle of the line, you really don't have an idea. So we're watching the replay, and I see the 6'7" Nate Solder there, and your eyes are drawn to him immediately, mm-hmm. thinking, okay, this is an unusual placement to have Solder there in that spot. He was out there, for example, last year when Billy Kunda for the Cleveland Browns left his field goal short at Gillette Stadium, trying in a similar set of circumstances to beat the Patriots before the buzzer sounded. Mm-hmm. Well, on Thursday night, again, watching the replay as it's unfolding, in slow motion, on the monitor in front of me, I see Solder, but then immediately to his right, as I look at it, there's Chris Jones leaping up and reaching with his left hand. And, you know, you say what words immediately come to mind in that spot, but again, it all goes back to the week that was and putting in the time, preparing and thinking back to what Chris Jones had experienced a year earlier against the Jets. And to his credit, as we heard him say, in fact, his exact words, I got a man up.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he did a year ago. He took it on his shoulders.
He sure did.
And he was there to face the music in his locker, and then on Thursday night he was back in front of his locker to talk to the assembled media, as he was today after practice. And he was speaking today about being the recipient of the latest AFC Special Teams Player of the Week award. So the Patriots have now earned that honor twice, including the aforementioned Chandler Jones. So congratulations to Chris Jones, his namesake, no relation, of course, but the reigning AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. And we heard from Scott Zolak during those two audio montages, the highlights from Thursday's game between the Patriots and the New York Jets. And lo and behold, we get a chance to speak live with Scott Zolak, who joins us after taping various segments for Patriots programming here at Gillette Stadium. Zoe, how are you today?
The Bob. How we doing?
I'm doing great. Did you enjoy your mini break with a weekend off from the Patriots after Thursday's win?
Sunday without football for me, I'm like a lost puppy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, don't you feel like you wake up on Sunday, you got to go to the stadium? You have somewhere to go?
Yes, nobody wants to go apple picking. Nobody wants to pick pumpkins or go clothes shopping for the winter for kids. No. You want to go to a football game.
But being the good husband and father that you are, you were willing to sacrifice for those.
I did all those.
Zoe, if it makes you feel any better, I don't have any kids, and I had to go pumpkin picking on Sunday.
Hey, can I give Zoe an attaboy?
We'll just start there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, attaboy,
all
Zoe.
My days of being a single man, never once have I went and got a pumpkin.
You might have smashed a few, going back to your college park days, I imagine.
We had a plastic pumpkin, which we created certain concoctions that we drank out of. Usually some sort of grain alcohol and a Kool-Aid product. But, we've used pumpkins for other things.
Well, let's go back to last Thursday briefly and revisit that win for the Patriots over the Jets. I know there was a lot of concern on the part of many about the way the Jets were able to run up and down the field and control the clock. Chris Ivory, of course, leading the way in that rushing attack. Geno Smith not turning it over against the Patriots, and New England surviving with that blocked field goal. But when you get to this stage of the year, especially playing on a short week, shorthanded, do you take any victories like that for granted? And moving forward, how important is a win like that?
Hey, I mean, you can't tell by more than just listening to our calls of the game that I get more excited with style points. I love style points. I love, when they roll teams. But you're playing the game, you understand that having basically one day to get ready to play a game, that, usually by Wednesday of that following week of where you played the game Sunday, you start to feel better, but then you got to really go and suit it up. It's tough on those guys on a Thursday, and you can really tell, and I've talked to a couple of those guys, that you know, by the middle of that first quarter, it felt like the middle of a fourth quarter of a regular Sunday game. So this team has played four games, three in primetime in a seven-day span, and ended up going 3-1 through that, with some of those being road games. And that's tough. It's a tough thing to do in this league. I don't care which team it is. Probably puts a massive strain on your body physically, and I'm sure, you know, we had a little fun there coming out at the top there about, you know, what you do during the mini bye week. I think those guys took advantage of those 3 days and got their feet up.
Zone, the Patriots, though, had absorbed another blow in the aftermath. Chandler Jones, during the course of that game, reportedly injured his hip. The Boston Globe, the first to report it, that he'll be out for about a month. How significant a loss is that?
I got your best pass rusher. And the fact that they actually went and made a move and traded for a guy, you know, and Akeem Ayers, that indicates that, hey, we need some help there. We need some depth. You know, there's a video going around social media. I think Mike Giardi was the first to have it, that you know, he thinks that's the play he heard it on. That kind of looks like it, but give Chandler credit for playing through the rest of that game. He only sat out about a play or two. And, you know, sometimes with those injuries, they end up stiffening up, or you find, boy, you know, through the adrenaline and everything, that you kind of push through it, but it doesn't feel too good right now. And I think that's the case with Chandler. They're going to miss him, considering we got this stretch coming up where you got elite receivers on the outside. And I think really, Bob, what this is going to force them to do is play more man-to-man coverage. Because I think if you tighten the coverage, if you tighten those holes and you make quarterbacks be more precise with the throws, the same thing that teams do to Tom Brady, where if you're not getting the total amount of time up front, if you got pressure, you've got to be basically perfect on every throw. So I think you frustrate quarterbacks that way. And that'll help complement those guys up front that are trying to pick up the slack.
Hey, so in addition to that, and I want to talk more about the man versus zone against the Bears. Do you see the Patriots scheming differently with their front seven, or even more, employing more nickel packages against the Bears this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, part of it where, you know, some of these receivers like Dobson, or, you know, maybe it's a Brian Timms that has to be the healthy scratch, it's because you're carrying extra safeties. And, you know, we've seen it with the big nickel with the three safeties in the game at once. And, you know, Chung could be that guy. Browner could be that guy in the box. I want Ninkovic on the field at all times. I want to find a way to get your five best rush guys on the field at all times. And whether that's a 3-4 or 4-3 or 4-2 nickel, so be it. I don't think you just say, hey, we're a certain front this week. I think it's game to game, series to series, matchup to matchup. And you could be diverse, and that's up to Matt Patricia to figure all that stuff out.
With Scott Zolak, and you mentioned the man-to-man against the Chicago Bears, they're big physical receivers, and Bill Belichick said that one of the things about these guys that distinguishes them as well, speaking of Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, along with Martellus Bennett, Santonio Holmes, and others, is that they get a lot of yards after the catch. They break tackles, and they gain a lot of yards after the catch. Does playing zone help prevent, if you've got layers of defense, or do you still think that man-to-man is the best route to go?
Well, I think zone could get guys like Jay Cutler in a comfort zone. Mm-hmm. He could throw off the back foot and just put the ball in spots and throw for holes on the defense. And you could put a ball behind a guy. You could throw it back shoulder. You could do all those things. And it makes you not be such a precise thrower. I think the man-to-man coverage, you know, really forces a quarterback to think quicker, to maneuver quicker, to make a decision quicker, you know, as far as, am I going to have my first read? And I think, you know, you look at the bigger guys on the outside, 6'5 receivers. You know, you play cushion, you let those guys get in route, they're tough to keep up with. We saw that with Randy Moss, where, you know, you get to that second, third gear downfield, those guys just run through coverage and you throw it up to them. I like to see them jam the guys, fight up front. That's why you got Browner.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you got Revis. Lock those guys up in front, tight 5 to 5 yards, and make them grind and fight through running routes. You know, make them earn every yard they catch, and eventually, you know, you're going to frustrate those guys.
Well, you mentioned that. My next question was, is this the game that Brandon Browner, you know, that we see Brandon Browner have an impact really these next 2 weeks for the Pats going up against Chicago and Denver?
Yeah, I think you're going to see, you know, a little bit of Jamie Collins on Martellus Bennett. And if I'm Matt Patricia, I take Brandon Browner and I put him on Alshon Jeffrey. He's the more physical, bigger guy. And I think Brandon Marshall is a more explosive, big-time playmaker on that team. So I want Revis on him. You know, it's a defensive coordinator's nightmare, this type of matchup, but yeah, you don't go out in the offseason and spend that type of money at the cornerback position if those guys aren't your guys.
Hey, so I don't know if you've had a chance to read the report, and I don't mean to spring this on you without any opportunity preview. But, yeah, Darrell Revis, there's a report by Ben Volen of the Boston Globe that Revis arrived late yesterday and was sent home from practice by head coach Bill Belichick. Today, when asked about it, Revis responded, "That's between me and the coach. Talk to him about it." Do you see any lingering ramifications from this or effects on this team?
No, I think rules are rules. You know, there's other people that think rules are made to be broken, or, you know, I've done a lot of stuff with Darrell, and he's been the perfect guy here. There's been not one incident where he seems disgruntled or he doesn't like the way that, you know, that the defenses are being called. That's a rule, and we've seen it with any other player, you know, whether it's Spikes, you know, whether it's Dalis Thomas, you know, Sean Springs in the past. You don't show up on time, that bus is leaving, and you know it too, Bob, traveling with the team. Yeah, you know, we're out there, and if the bus is leaving at 9, it's leaving at 9. Anybody there at 9:02, that bus is leaving. So this head coach has got a set of rules, and I think it's a credit to him that a player of that caliber, if he doesn't abide by them, you send him home. And he was there today and ready to go and practice.
Well, you know, and it's not just a message to those other guys in the locker room, but if I'm one of those guys, especially a fringe player, the 51st, 52nd, 53rd guy on the roster, I see that the rules apply to everybody.
Yeah.
That to me says, okay, we're all playing by the same rules, literally, and that's the kind of atmosphere you want in the locker room and around a team to really unify guys so that there aren't separate rules for different classes of players.
It runs a tight ship. That's what it does. You know, and it kind of strengthens, you know, what you have within those walls, because it's 53 guys that got to abide by it. If you don't, there's prices you pay. And, hey, let's face it, he'll be out there, you know, snap one on Sunday. I don't foresee this being any issue. You know, Darrell may be a guy, and, you know, I play with a bunch of guys where some guys are on the bus, you know, 45 minutes before it departs. Some guys are on it 3 minutes before it departs. Some guys like to be stragglers. I think, if anything, maybe Darrell needs to step up his tempo with the daily routine. So message is sent. I think message will be taken.
Meanwhile, it's Scott Zolak of 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, co-host of the Gresh and Zoe Show from 10 to 2 on weekdays on the Hub, but also, of course, my partner on the Patriots broadcast on the Patriots Radio Network and flagship 98.5, the Sports Hub. Zoe, meanwhile, in the locker room for the Chicago Bears after a loss to the Miami Dolphins, apparently behind closed doors, one could still hear the voice of Brandon Marshall in an outburst after last Sunday's game. What do you make of all the circumstances surrounding the Bears?
Well, he's an interesting fellow to begin with. Hey, Brandon Marshall's very well spoken. It's why he does Inside the NFL. I find it odd that he actually does a talk show with former retired guys that critique everybody else within the league and things going on in the league. It makes for a guy that gets burned out, you know, by week 10, 12, 14. He's got to travel on his off day to go film TV shows. It's odd. And, you know, you look at the Bears. I guess they have different captains every week, which is odd in itself. I think you pick five guys because you need a leadership council. And, hey, I need to know that if I screw up, that guy with the C on his shirt is going to be the guy that holds me accountable before I talk to the coach. So there's a level of accountability there that maybe the Bears don't really understand where it starts with. And, you know, if you really don't establish that, you know, it's kind of like the inmates running the asylum, and that sounded what it was like on Sunday after the game.
Well, Mike Ditka was asked about the rotating captains, and he said that's because they don't have one.
Right.
What do you make?
I think it starts at the top, and the guy that tolerates that sets that type of standard, same way on the flip side where Bill Belichick, hey, if you're Darrell Revis, you don't show up, you're making $13 million, you're going home that day. That's, you know, you know at the end of the day who's running, who's the boss, who the boss is.
What do you make of Jay Cutler? Your impressions as a longtime quarterback.
I love him from the upside of it, that guy can make every throw, and I said this before, that, you know, I came out with Jeff George. He reminds me of Jeff George, meaning he can make every throw in the book. He can throw it off the back foot. He can spin it as good as anybody. And I see what Mark Trestman sees in him. It's just, you're excited if you could harness that guy and make him, you know, focus and just make good decisions, because he could beat you. He could kill you. You saw what he did to San Francisco in the second half after he took a hit. But there's times where, hey, his head's not in the game and he makes some silly throws. I think that's why it's critical you play man in this game, because I think you can frustrate him. Where, you know, you play a guy like Peyton Manning, play that soft shell cover two zone, you make him dink and dunk you, and, you know, Peyton wants the big play, and then eventually you frustrate him into making the critical error. And I think that's what they can do with Cutler.
And so, finally, I'm going to ask you about his counterpart, because Tom Brady spoke today about addressing one of his weaknesses this past offseason. When he was asked about rolling out and throwing to Danny Amendola as he did, rolling left as a right-handed quarterback and making that throw to Amendola for a touchdown, having worked on broken pockets and throwing on the move with Josh McDaniels in the spring and the summer, he actually talked about watching guys like Russell Wilson and the more mobile quarterbacks in the league and try to do things that he hasn't been able to do in the past. What does that say about Tom Brady at age 37, 15 years in the NFL, that he's still trying to work on diminishing or eliminating weaknesses in his game?
That's what the great ones do. You know, that's what Montana does. You know, what continues to drive these guys? Yeah, I'll find a chink in the armor. I'll find an area that's not my strength, and continue to work it until it becomes second nature to him. And that play seems second nature. I mean, we rarely see Brady step up in the pocket, move left, and then throw one of those improvisational, got it right there, nailed that sucker, improvisational type routes. And of all guys, Danny Amendola is the one on the other end of it. You know, and that's a guy that went out and worked with him in the offseason. So maybe there's something to that. Hey, it's that one route we ran on the beach out in Santa Monica that, man, we nailed that sucker on a 3rd and 19 against the Jets in the divisional game.
Hey, Zoe, lastly, did you get all the pumpkins picked and all the apples picked and all the clothes picked out as well for the wardrobe last weekend?
Pick peppers and run rock rhymes. Humpty Dumpty got lost and lost his mind.
I just want to make
it nimble, but he was quick. That's an old Run DMC Lego line there, Bob. Get you down with the hip hop for the MC flow seat sauce. Yeah, I picked the pumpkins. We got the apples picked, and we got about 10 of them rotting here on our kitchen with all the fruit flies flying around them.
Well, I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm sorry to hear about that, and you might have to clean up over the weekend, but I just want to make sure you got everything out of the way last weekend, because this Sunday at 1 o'clock, it's the Pats and the Bears.
Let's get it going, buddy. I'll see you there.
All right, so thanks again.
All right, pal.
As always, Scott Zolak with us, my partner on the radio broadcast on the Patriots Radio Network. And again, Scott Zolak, the longtime quarterback of the Patriots, is also a guy you can see and hear on Patriots All Access and Patriots This Week and various and sundry other Patriots events and programming, and does a great job as well, co-hosting with Andy Gresh from 10 to 2 on our flagship station on the Patriots Radio Network, 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. I'll come back after a timeout with Jackie Brenton, my partner on Patriots.com, after these words on the Bob Soucy Show, again on Patriots.com.
When Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Before Jenny met her new nephew Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
It's time now for a call to the bullpen.
I just, like, can't read.
The Kraft Sports Productions bullpen.
I'm drunk on a plane.
Time now to welcome in Patriots team reporter Jackie Britton to the Bob Soucy Show.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show here on Patriots.com from our Subway Fresh broadcast studio at Gillette Stadium, just down the hallway at Gillette Stadium from the aforementioned bullpen with Jackie Britton, the one and only. Do you know how the bullpen got its name?
You know what? I actually don't know the answer to that question. All I know is that it was the bullpen when I got here, and so that's just what we call it. I don't know. It's just a collection of people trying to do work in that one room.
I know we shoot the bull a lot when I'm down there.
Yeah, we definitely do. There are a lot of mean things said back and forth. Yeah.
And not all of them about our producer, Kevin Collins.
No, we don't care about him that much, talk about him that much. But, just kidding. I heart you.
Hey. Now, speaking of talk today, in the other direction, walking the hallway, taking a right out of Kraft Sports Productions instead of a left to this radio studio, you have to take that right to go to the Patriots locker room. And, of course, a lot to talk about for those who did address the media today. Chandler Jones absent, of course, from practice, and the report that he's going to be out for a month. We've just learned that the Boston Globe's Ben Vaughn and Tommy Curran of Comcast Sports New England have reported that Darrell Revis was sent home from practice on Tuesday, and he was asked about it today in a scrum. So there's a lot going on today as the Pats prepare for the Chicago Bears back at work, Jackie.
Right. Yeah, back to work after the weekend off. There's no surprise, though, that Darrell Revis wasn't going to give up much information when he was asked earlier. But then, as you mentioned, not on the injury report. So I guess maybe raises some speculation as to why he wasn't out there. But if that's what the reports are, I don't know. We'll see. But the Chandler Jones stuff, I think that could hurt for the month. I mean, just because the depth isn't great there at defensive end. But, you know, I tell you who I really do like is Zach Moore. I think he's, sounds like he's a hard worker, plays pretty well. He had that fumble recovery. Was it last week? Was that the game?
It was in Buffalo. Okay. Defensive snap in his NFL career.
Yeah, so he's, this is also kind of exciting because you do get a chance to see some of these other guys that just you never see. You never get to see it. And then they surprise you, you know? So, I don't know. But I think it's a little, I mean, it's a month, I guess, in the grand scheme of things wouldn't be all that bad. But their schedule coming up, it's pretty tough. But they, you know, get the bye week in there, so that's good. But, I don't know. I think it could hurt them specifically in this matchup.
Well, you mentioned the schedule. The Bears, of course, this Sunday with Jay Cutler, who, as we know, when he protects the ball, has the arm to make all the throws.
Right.
With a lot of targets, starting with Matt Forte out of the backfield, is also the fifth leading rusher in the
right.
NFL, as well as the leading
it's
receiver.
It's just getting the ball to them. Yeah.
Marshall, Bennett, Jeffrey, Santonio Holmes, Josh Morgan. Then you have the Denver Broncos. And, oh, by the way, they got a pretty good quarterback
yeah.
in an explosive offense.
Yeah.
By
he doesn't
turn
the ball over that much.
At Indianapolis, Detroit at home, at Green Bay, at San Diego, before you go back in the division against the
yeah.
Dolphins. It's a pretty rigorous stretch.
It is. It really is. So that's where I would be more concerned about Chandler Jones. But, I mean, at this point, it's like you can't really speculate all of that. But you can just tell that the guys are kind of looking at it as the way they always do. There's no surprises there. I mean, yeah, the next man up, we've got guys in this locker room who are ready to fill that void, take that challenge, and that's kind of how we're doing it. I think Devin McCourty had a great answer today on it, and he was like, look, we can either sit here and be upset that Chandler's not here, or we can find ways to win without him, and that's what they do. That's what they plan on doing.
And you mentioned Zach Moore because as a guy who went to a small college, a lot of people didn't know much about him
right.
coming into the spring out of the draft as a sixth-round draft choice of the Patriots from Concordia St. Paul Small School in St. Paul, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, he'll play against the Chicago Bears, the team he rooted for as a kid and his family roots for, at least it did before he signed with the Patriots. He's from Chicago. He's a very intriguing athletic prospect because mm-hmm. coming out of high school, a very highly touted athlete, but
yeah.
was a substandard student, really struggled academically. That's why he wound up at a Division II school. And yet, the same weekend he was drafted, he earned his degree. He's very well spoken.
Yeah,
really
absolutely.
Has a great disposition. Very
really
nice
a nice
individual.
Guy.
Yeah.
I really like him. I got to know him a little bit this week at a community event, and then he spoke again today. So he just seems like just a good kid. You know, just wants to just the fundamentals of just like working hard, doing your job, just trying to make it, you know, and just make an impression in the NFL, make an impression on this team. And he just, I'm rooting for him. I really like him. He seems like a really good kid.
And the thing about it, though, too, is not only is he a nice guy off the field, there's an upside physically. 6'6", 275. He runs well. He's got long arms.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of length.
And these are the opportunities where, you know, back during the draft and the Patriots took this guy, I think a lot of people were thinking, what stood out to Belichick out of the thousands or however many prospects there are that you're looking at film of, like what stood out about this one guy? And there's only so much you can take away during training camp and, you know, all the, you know, spring mini camps and all that stuff. So being able to see him in a game, you know, you mentioned Buffalo. We're finally getting to kind of see what the coaching staff saw in this kid. And so far it's exciting, you know?
Well, I think too, he was viewed as a project, a guy that the Patriots would try to develop, not for 2014, but down the road, and yet
mm-hmm,
he's progressed
right.
at a pretty rapid rate so that he's been able to contribute, albeit out of necessity,
right.
the last couple of weeks. Now, beyond Zach Moore on the defensive side, Brandon Browner made his return
right.
To the Patriots lineup. We saw him in the preseason. Then, of course, he was suspended the first four games, inactive once he was eligible to return for 2 weeks. Got on the field against the Jets by his own admission. Really had a tough time keeping
right.
up, especially with the first series.
He said he was a little rusty. Right.
This is going to be an important game for Brandon Browner, and the Patriots need him to play
yeah.
well with his physicality, his size at the line of scrimmage against those big receivers.
Yeah, I mean, to me, for him, it doesn't get much bigger, literally, than this. I mean, you know, as I think you had said earlier, this is what he was brought here to do, you know, is to these are the physical matchups that he was brought to New England for. And, you know, obviously last week, I don't think anyone was really blown away, and as he had said, he was a little bit rusty, but kind of like a welcome back to the NFL type of a game for him, which is, I think you have to expect that to a certain degree. I mean, I think I think sometimes the expectations are way too high when it comes to, you know, Brandon Browner's is great, you know, he's big, he's going to shut down guys. Like, you've got to give him a little bit of breathing room to kind of get used to the game speed again. Like, there's only so much you can simulate at practice, and then when he hasn't been out there for 4 weeks, I mean, you got to give the guy a little bit of a break. But I think that the test is, I mean, the stakes are high this week for him.
Yeah, Bill Belichick even said before last week that, you know, the only way to get in shape for football is to play football.
Right.
So you can ride a bike and you can be in condition, but really when it comes to being in football shape, you got to go through
totally
the grind
different.
In a game, which
yeah.
Browner did last week.
Yeah. So I think definitely a tall test for him. And I was hoping to talk to him in the locker room today, but I didn't see him. So maybe tomorrow, because it's definitely one of the most interesting matchups this week for sure.
Jackie Brenton of Patriots.com, and you can see her, of course, on a regular basis contributing to Patriots Today in particular, but also on Patriots All Access on our CBS affiliate in Boston, WBZ. And the show is archived after it airs Friday nights live at 7 o'clock on Patriots.com. Jackie, the Pats offense getting in gear these last few weeks, even though they've been playing shorthanded. And now the exciting part about this Sunday's game is that it looks like Dan Connolly and Brian Stork, two integral parts of that offensive line, should be back.
And, you know, they did a really good job last week, the offensive line, I thought, in protecting Tom Brady. And that kind of was the lead-in to Brady talking about, you know, well, I have a little extra time today. Maybe I'll run the ball, and how he's not comfortable doing that. But, you know, they definitely have improved. I mean, only have gone up, I think. Like, I mean, a little inconsistency in the beginning, but have really done a good job protecting Tom Brady, giving him time to get rid of the ball. And I think that that's, I mean, as we've said all season long, like, is really the foundation of the offense. Like, if you don't have that stability up front, then you can't get it to, you know, you can't throw 49 yards to freaking Shane Vereen, you know, on the sideline, who I love, by the way, love watching Shane Vereen, like, coming off a really good game last week. We did a piece on him. And, you know, Coach Belichick had talked to him before, and he's like, oh, Shane's great. Like, his ability to stay on the field is what it all comes down to. And he's proved to be able to do that this year. And hopefully that continues for him. And, you know, he's got a big matchup coming up this week against his brother. Well, matchup, whatever. But playing against his brother will probably go up against him a couple of times. But so, yeah, I think you see everything else kind of come together. And the offensive line has been a huge part of that.
His brother, Brock Vereen, a draft choice of the Bears this spring out of the University of Minnesota, is a defensive back. Really, he shined at the combine in Indianapolis, and a lot of people here wondered whether he would play for the Patriots someday.
Yeah.
And he was asked about that prospect by New England media during the draft combine in Indianapolis, and he said, well, I like to play against the Patriots.
Right,
I
know.
Big brother.
I was surprised. You'd think he'd be like, yeah, you know, I'd love to be on the same team as my brother. That'd be so cool. He's like, no, I'd kind of rather go up against them. You know, there's that sibling rivalry that's always great. So, and there's a lot. It was Dan Roach who brought up the question to Devin McCourty about there's a lot of brothers in that locker room. And I don't know what the numbers are around the league, but you've got the Gronkowski brothers. You've got obviously the McCourtys, and then now you've got the Vereens. And who am I missing?
Chandler Jones.
Oh yeah, the Joneses.
And Arthur Jones. Yeah.
Right. And then it's just pretty crazy. So yeah, that'll be a fun little sibling family reunion at Gillette Stadium on Shane's home turf.
Yeah, Shane said his parents will be here. His dad actually was drafted too in the NFL by the Tampa Bay Bucks, didn't play in the league, but nonetheless, you know where their athletic talent comes from, and his folks will be here. He said he wasn't sure what colors they're going to be wearing, but then he thought for a second, said, oh, Patriots, you know. We'll see.
That's fun.
And Shane Vereen, as you mentioned, made a great catch to start the scoring on Thursday night, and then afterwards paid tribute to his fallen teammate, Stephen Ridley.
Yeah.
Ridley, of course, suffering the knee injury the previous game for the Patriots and out for the year. And Stephen has had a ritual after his 22 touchdowns in his NFL career to kick down the door, so to speak.
Knocking down the door.
He draws the outline of an imaginary door, and then he kicks it down, and Shane Vereen did that after his
touchdown. That was so
nice
sweet. I'm such a sucker for that kind of stuff. I'm such a softy when that happens. It's so good. But, yeah, you mentioned their offense, and I think that certainly this week, we talked to Julian Edelman yesterday and a couple of the other offensive guys, and the main theme was this is a ball-hawking defense. Like, they bat down a lot of balls, and Coach Belichick reemphasized that again today. So I think that, I mean, and Tom Brady even said, look, I've got trust in everybody on the field, but, I mean, really, once he lets go of the ball, it's all up to the receiver. It's on them to make that catch. So I think that that's certainly – that will definitely be tested in a big way this weekend.
Problem for the Bears, they've also given it up a lot, too, and Jay Cutler's had 10 turnovers in the 4 losses for the Bears, 3 of them in as many home games, winless at home. So the Bears really in a good place to get on the road this weekend.
Yeah, that just surprises me that any team would be – winless at home, you know, just have such a good advantage. But I mean, the Patriots have done pretty good in getting, you know, enforcing turnovers. And I thought Tom Brady had an interesting thing today. He said, you know, we're 5-0 when we don't turn the ball over. So important for them against this defense for sure.
And Brady's done a great job of protecting the football and, again, has made some big throws lately. We've seen the big play come back to the Patriot offense the last couple of weeks.
Right. It's just going to be a matter of consistency and maintaining that, you know, which they obviously talk about every week. But execution and consistency, Bob, those are the words around here.
That's what we strive for in the broadcast booth and the studios as well.
That's right. I think that everyone would. Yep. So, I don't know. It's going to be a good matchup. The time I've been here, I've never seen the Bears, obviously, so it'll be a good little matchup.
Yeah, Jackie Britton with us on the Bob Soucy Show, and of course my partner on Patriots.com. And speaking of that, I mean, this is an opportunity for a lot of fans here to see a team that the Patriots rarely play, of course, out of the NFC North.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots have talked about that, getting ready for a team that they're unfamiliar with.
Right.
You go, challenge as after facing a division foe like
New York. Yeah, that's all I was going to say. You go 2 weeks with seeing teams that you see twice a year for however many years, and then to have a team that you're kind of unfamiliar with, I mean, what was another? I'm trying to think of another team that they, I mean.
Well, the Vikings are in week two would be one.
Right.
As well.
And they haven't seen a guy, I don't think, I mean, like Matt Forte really. Well, I mean, Darren
Forte's
Sproles.
Forte's played in one game against them.
Yeah. So, I mean, is someone as dynamic as that, though?
Like, Jamal Charles?
Yeah. I mean, and look what Jamal Charles did.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a lot to prepare for. I don't know when they, it's going to be interesting for sure.
What I thought was interesting, too, speaking with Forte in a conference call today, is that he's actually watched some video of some backs that kind of have the same profile, not as good as he is in both areas, because this guy, as we've mentioned, is one of the best players in the NFL, period.
Right.
He's the league leader in receptions, and he's fifth in rushing. But try to see how the Patriots play against Charles, who's a dual threat. Maybe Darren Sproles, he said, if he can find some video. Sproles played against the Pats last year for the New Orleans Saints. He even mentioned Giovanni Bernard as a guy who catches the ball out of the backfield and runs well as a Cincinnati Bengal from a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it's so amazing to me. I mean, when I actually was looking at the stats today and you see, you know, Forte as the, you know, he's a running back, but who leads the league in receptions. It's like, wow, this guy is really, and two, breaking, you know, this is the game. Will Fork talked last week about, you know, we can't miss any tackles. This is really the week you can't miss any tackles, because a lot of these guys on offense have the ability to gain so many yards after the catch. And so I think that that's, I mean, not being able to miss tackles last week is great, but this week is really, I think, the bigger week to not miss any, because these guys can do some damage after they've caught the ball, for sure.
No doubt about it. And with Jackie Britton in our final moments, before we speak with Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Bears, in your Patriot Today duties, you had a chance to spend some time with some Pats in an unfamiliar setting earlier this week.
It was a lot of fun. We were at the Hyde Square Force Base in Boston, or Jamaica Plain, rather, that was like a little, it's like a dance studio that they renovated, and Devin McCourty, Matthew Slater, and Zach Moore actually were all there, and had no idea that they would be partaking in learning how to dance with these teenagers, and it was really cool to see them in that environment, because a lot of these events are, you know, football-oriented, workout-oriented. It's like, yeah, we all know that they're the experts on football, but to see them in an environment where they are really vulnerable with, like, you know, teenagers, and having to kind of, like, show their softer side and, like, admit, like, hey, I don't know how to dance, and to kind of see them learn to do that and to kind of help renovate this dance studio was really, really cool. Slater, his facial expressions, he wasn't having it. He was like, I don't know about this, but it was really good. Devin McCourty took the lead on that. As the he was like, you know what, if I want to get on Dancing with the Stars one day, I got to take the lead. So, yeah, it was good. They did some good stuff in the community this week, for sure.
Maybe they'll even incorporate some of those dances if any of them score a touchdown, or even if Zach Moore makes a sack.
Zach Moore told me. Now, I've got it on tape. Y'all got to go on tape. It's on there. He said, if I get another fumble recovery, then I will maybe do a little salsa dancing. So I'm going to hold him to that. I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, it was good. It was a good time.
Well, we look forward to the piece as well, and you can find it on Patriots.com, as well as a look at the matchup of the Pats and the Chicago Bears through Jackie's view. And we'll talk again next Wednesday about what happened to the Chicago game as we get ready for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah. Ooh, sounds good. A couple of good weeks here coming up. It's exciting.
All right, Jackie, thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Jackie Britton with us, and again, momentarily, we'll be joined by the voice of the Chicago Bears, Jeff Joniak, in his 14th year calling the Bears, and having called the 0-3 start at home, he's watched the Bears go 3-1 on the road this year, including a victory at San Francisco in a matchup for the Chicago Bears and the 49ers in the first couple of weeks of the season. And the Bears as well beat the Atlanta Falcons on the road and beat the New York Jets by 27-19 final. It was a 28-20 victory at San Francisco in Week 2. Following a loss against the Bills in overtime in Week 1 at home, the Bears have also lost, as we know, to the Dolphins. So they've gone 1-2 versus the AFC East. They wrap up their out-of-conference matchups this weekend against AFC East foes in facing the New England Patriots. The Bears and the Pats have rarely played, of course, as we know. Their most famous meeting was Chicago's win in the Super Bowl after the remarkable 1985 season for Mike Ditka's Bears. And for the Chicago Bears and the New England Patriots, their series consists of only 11 regular season meetings heretofore. Tom Brady, quarterback, has played well in his career against Chicago, albeit limited to 3 games against the Bears. Brady overall with 964 yards passing, a 94.7 quarterback rating in those games. And as we mentioned, the Patriots have defended against Matt Forte only once heretofore. Brandon Marshall, of course, has experience against the Pats, having faced New England as a member of the Miami Dolphins repeatedly within the division before his move to Chicago, where he and Jay Cutler, of course, have formed one of the most dangerous tandems, quarterback and receiver in the NFL. But by no means is he alone when it comes to weapons for Jay Cutler and the Chicago Bears, which makes their start at 3-4 all the more surprising. And as noted, the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, has watched things unfold, and as he readies for the visit to Foxborough this weekend, he takes time to join us for a few minutes. Jeff, how are you today, and thank you for the time.
Fantastic. How are things out there for you?
Well, things are good. We've had an interesting time here in Foxborough. The Pats dealing, of course, with the fallout due to injury, while the Bears have had to deal with a lot of questions, I guess, after the post-game outburst by Brandon Marshall in the aftermath of that loss to the Miami Dolphins. Head coach Mark Trestman said everybody needs to take a deep breath. Has Chicagoland done that?
No. You know.
Of course.
I had an event last night with Kyle Long and my broadcast partner, Tom Thayer. And, boy, the line of questions was all what you might expect when a team is 3-4 and underperforming by most estimates and what the anticipation was before the season. But, you know, as you know from calling games, you got to break things down, really down to the exact detail, to find out what the root of the problem is and what's really going on. So I don't think people have the patience to do that in general, and nor should they. They're fans and so forth. But, you know, what Mark Trestman tried to indicate again today in the follow-up news conference after Monday with some national media here, Albert Breer was here, so they want to revisit what happened. He opened his news conference by simply saying we're on to New England, but you knew there were going to be questions about Brandon Marshall. The bottom line is this. Depending on who you talk to, and veterans, they have no problem with it. The emotion that would come in the course of a frustrating game certainly spilled out from Brandon, who's an emotional player, an emotional guy, and that could happen at any point during any week, any moment on a practice field if he doesn't see something that he likes. So it wasn't taken the wrong way by the locker room. He didn't call any particular player out. Reports that indicated he did were inaccurate. And then in the bigger picture, Mark Trestman allows players to vent if they so choose, or coaches. So that's his philosophy, his style. I don't think it's going to have an effect moving down the road.
Yeah, some people even think it might have a positive effect,
sure,
that it could be a unifying factor for the Bears this week.
Right, and I think it's a tight team to begin with, so I don't think they needed anything to unify them. Did they need anybody to stand up and say something? That's a matter of preference. Do you like salt or pepper on your steak? I don't know. You know, veteran players and old guard players love that kind of stuff. I think fans love to see and hear that emotion from players after a loss. It shows that it hurts. And, you know, maybe that's part of the deal here, that why Brandon did it. I don't know.
And Jeff, as you know, every game has its own set of circumstances, and yet it's so strange to look at the Bears and see the record at home. And I'm sure it's especially strange for you, having been at Soldier Field this year, to be 0-3 at home and 3-1 on the road, and so close to really 4-0 away from Chicago. What do you put your finger on? Or when you try to pinpoint the reasons for this strange inconsistency in the Bears' play this season?
I can't, other than, you know, again, it's a matter of fundamentals and techniques, and that's boring for the average fan to listen to when the players are, you know, a foot, a step, a hand placement here, an angle of approach on a player here on defense, a special teams miscue, penalties, first down penalties, a sack at the wrong time, a missed sack at the wrong time in the fourth quarter when you need one. I mean, that's really what the game is about. They do have talent. They have extraordinary skill position talent on the offensive side of the ball. They've got veterans up front that they invested in on the defensive side of the ball. They've got a good mix of youth and experience. You can't. It's the game. It's how the ball bounces sometimes. And I can't explain it. It's not good that they don't have that home field edge right now. And it really dates back to last season as well, at the end of last season. So it's bridging the two seasons where they haven't done what they feel they should do at home. Again, you can't ever figure things out. Buffalo came in here in week one. I always say week one is the great crapshoot. That's when upsets are occurring. It doesn't mean that team is bad, or, you know, you should have beat that team. You know, I hate when that happens, because I don't think just because the line says you're favored to beat somebody, that doesn't mean you should. It's what you get each and every week. Each and every week is unique. And who's available? Heck, you know, we wake up this morning to find Chandler Jones out. So fans are, oh, okay, that gives you an edge. Does it? I don't know. Maybe the next guy coming up is going to play the game of his life. It doesn't mean anything until you actually get on the field.
Well, I think that, you know, my brief time in the NFL, that certainly is underscored every week, that comparative scores and studying what one team A did against team B, and therefore when team A plays team C, is really a waste of time, an exercise in futility. I mean, you've been at it for a long time. Is that unusual? Has the league developed to the point, you know, the so-called parity of the NFL, has it developed to the point where really week to week it truly is a unique situation in the NFL?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's changed. I think that term parity has been around a long time, and everybody thanks Pete Rozelle for that. So, and it's great for fans. It's absolutely great. It can be frustrating for fans. It could be frustrating for us as fans and calling games and so forth, because you just can't predict. They're the dominant team. When the Patriots went unbeaten, you know, that was a dominant team. You kind of expected it every week. The Steelers of the 70s, you kind of expect it every week. Now, you know, I don't think there are any great teams in the league. So every week is a new story. That's the beauty of the NFL. Every single day is a drama. It's unfolding. It's a 6-day build-up to the seventh day. And, you know, you just don't know what to expect. You know, you come to the stadium with great expectation and anticipation. You got your keys to the game all figured out. And in one series, it can be blown right out of the water.
And speaking of frustration with Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Bears, is part of the frustration for Chicago fans the fact that Mark Trestman is so soft-spoken and articulate, it seems, when the guy that we think of first and foremost as the Bears head coach, at least in the modern history of the franchise, is Mike Ditka. And I've heard him questioned a lot, speaking of Trestman, people wondering whether he truly is a leader of men since the Miami game.
Well, it's the same very question I got last night at this event, because someone brought it up, and everybody points to Ditka. No question. He won a Super Bowl. He's the most popular individual in Chicago, remains that way. There's billboards to show that he's still relevant here in events and so forth in his restaurant. But I always point to this. I mentioned Tom Landry. You know, now granted, he won multiple Super Bowls. He's a legendary coach. I'm not saying that Mark Trestman is going to be that. But you just can't say, because of how somebody's personality on the outside looking in, or how he's sitting at a podium or standing on a sideline, is the difference between winning and losing. Because subsequently since then, we've had, you know, Dave Wannstedt, we've had Dick Geron, we've had Lovie Smith. Coach Geron, I have great respect for. Lovie, great respect for. Also mild-mannered guys. Believe me, behind closed doors, and you've been around sports a long time, you know that the storyline is completely different. Everybody knows what they are facing when they make mistakes or the threat of losing their job from the head coach. Everybody's different, and it doesn't mean there's just one way. You have to figure out how many emotional coaches are ranting and raving on the sidelines these days. Not many. And I don't think players of today's vintage care too much for that. Mark's big expression is the players are never going to meet the enemy when they come to the sidelines. And that's what he demands out of his coaching staff as well. I just don't think players today dig that too much. Doesn't mean it's going to make you a winner or make you a loser. I just think there's very few people like Mike Ditka. So it is just unique. And you could talk to those players and they can tell you stories of what they didn't like about Coach Ditka either. So, you know, he always put the fear of God in you. He always put the fear of losing your job in you. And watching tape with Mike Ditka was a very troubling experience if you knew you made a mistake on Sunday. And he ran the projector, and he had the whole team sitting in there to point out everything you did wrong. I don't know that that made the Bears a champion. I think what made the Bears a champion was their talent.
Of course, Mark has the reputation of being the so-called quarterback whisperer, and the guy he's worked most closely with, of course, the last year plus is Jay Cutler. We have seen flashes of brilliance from Cutler, but then there are the turnover issues, 10 turnovers in the 4 losses for the Bears this season. What's the difference in the perception the public has and the private persona of Jay Cutler, the guy that you get to know close to the team?
Well, you know, it's hard to convince people what my opinion may be of him and so forth, because all they care about is wins. And until he wins, that's going to be his perception. So, you know, I watched Drew Brees throw an unbelievable interception last week. Now, he's got some pelts on the wall. He's won a championship. You know, that's the difference. There is no leeway for Jay right now, and he got a big contract, so people are automatically pointing to that. You know, if you make this, you can't do this. But, you know, I could also point to 3 passes dropped in the end zone in the last drive of the game for the Bears by Brandon Marshall and Martellus Bennett. They were right on their hands. Tough catches, I might add, but part of Mark Trestman's offense is winning contested balls. They are 50-50 balls, but by and large, these receivers, this size and this group of skill position players, they win contested balls more than 50-50. So, you know, that's an expectation. And he put it in a position where only they could get it. So they didn't get it. And sometimes Jay makes decisions that are incorrect, and he makes a wrong decision. Or some of those turnovers you speak of were a miscommunication between the receiver and Jay, or that receiver made the wrong cut at the wrong point. You know, here we talk about, again, the precise nature of this game. And that's, you know, if you're supposed to be at a very specific area, you better be there. Otherwise, that pass could be ricocheted and intercepted, or that pass is going to be, you know, cut off if you're running the wrong route. So I don't pin it all on Jay. It's an offensive thing. I still love the guy. He's got unique skills. He's got elite skills. It just hasn't all come together in terms of getting this team into the playoffs regularly or winning regularly. And I still believe it will come, though. I still do. And I like him. He's an intense competitor. He is a hard-working guy, and he's just not a warm and fuzzy guy all the time for the public. And in Chicago, they want to see that in their star players. They are used to the 85 Bears. They're used to Michael Jordan, you know, being available, being able to be, I don't know how else to say it other than they want to be able to touch and feel their stars, and Jay's not necessarily like that. He's not like that. That doesn't mean he's a bad guy.
Jeff Joniak, voice of the Bears, in our final moments, speaking of elite skill sets, Matt Forte, 5th in the league in rushing, the leading receiver in the NFL. Only 2 carries, though, the first half against Miami on Sunday. Do you expect him to have a more prominent role running the football against the Patriots this Sunday?
You know, I can't predict what they're going to do. Each game plan, obviously, is different, but there's certainly some desire for that to happen from Matt and from the fellas. You nailed it, man. To me, he's arguably the most underrated player in a skill position player in the NFL. I'm not just going to say running back, because if he wanted to, so many scouts and coaches told me he could have easily been drafted as a wide receiver. He's got the size and the hands and the route running ability to do that. But he's just so versatile, a total Swiss Army knife, and a guy that, in my opinion, can handle as many touches as you want to give him. He just keeps himself in supreme condition, and his physical preparation to get ready for each season gets different and better every year. He challenges himself to get as fit as possible to handle whatever load they want to give him, and I fully expect him to get more. I mean, just the way the first half unfolded really was unfortunate. The Bears only had 18 snaps. You know, and you can say some of that is because they didn't, you know, run the ball to get some first downs instead of throwing the ball, and things didn't work out on the first drive. They went for it on a 3rd and about 1.5 yards. They went for the big ball to Alshon. And That was after the defense made a big sack on the first play of the game, Jeremiah Ralph, and a three and out, and a shanked punt gives you great field position. And things didn't go well after that. So, you know, I just think it was an aberration more than anything.
Yeah, and Jeff, finally, Phil Emery, the GM of the Bears, went out and acquired a lot of pass rushers in the offseason, including Jared Allen, Willie Young, Lamar Houston. The returns on the investment thus far, has there been enough evidence to judge whether the Bears have gotten the bang for their buck?
I personally feel yes, but, you know, everybody's in love with sacks. So when you see a sack and a half for Jared Allen, he also missed time with pneumonia. You see Lamar Houston with no sacks, people start to panic that, you know, it's a waste of money. But, you know, I know this. Lamar Houston has double-digit hits on the quarterback and double-digit hurries on the quarterback, and probably as many as anybody in the NFL. He's come close, and so has Jared Allen. Willie Young was also an investment. He was brought here to be a starter, and then Jared Allen became available, so that put Willie in a rotation of ends. He's got the seven sacks. Not as many hits on the quarterback, not as many hurries on the quarterback. And you have to include Jeremiah Ratliff in this mix, too, because he was brought in late last season and did not play the entire season, obviously, for the Bears. He's been unbelievable, and he missed time with a concussion. His three-and-a-half sack performance on Sunday in the first half was exceptional, but it was in the first half. So here again, you can debate the value of sacks. When are you getting the sacks? Are you getting the sacks on third down and fourth down? Are you getting the sacks when you have to have a big play or in the fourth quarter? And the Bears, when in those situations when they've been playing on a lead, which has not been all that often this season, those guys have come up and rushed the quarterback and put pressure, put on the tape of Matt Ryan. They've also faced a lot of read zone option quarterbacks. So that slows you down a half a tick. And I think the great pass rushers like Jared Allen, that's an adjustment. They have contained responsibilities, and the old days of a guy just sitting there, standing in the pocket, and you know where he's at, you go get him, those days are gone. There's not many, you know. We'll be interested to see those guys against Tom, who's got, you know, the quickest trigger in the NFL, maybe next to Aaron Rodgers, so he'll get rid of it quickly, so he's tough to get to, too, but, you know, those pass rush, they don't love that read option stuff. That's an adjustment, so I'm okay with the way, to me, you know, this is where it all begins and ends, is on the front, obviously on both sides of the ball. And I think when the season's end, the final analysis, that group of guys, they're going to be circled as the reason the Bears pull themselves out of this tailspin.
Well, especially given the current predicament for the Patriots, minus Chandler Jones, so the Pats would gladly take any one of them, I'm sure.
To me, you know, I loved when the Giants went to the Super Bowl. I think on the first Super Bowl, the rotation that, you know, the rotation of talented defensive linemen, not just pass rushers, but run stoppers and guys that can collapse the pocket, which is happening with Ratliff and Stephen Paya for us. You know, you can never have enough. Most scouts and coaches say you can never have enough of any position, but to me, that if you can get a rotation of defensive linemen to go up against an offensive line where they can never really get a true beat on you over the course of the game, to me, that's a weapon. That's an asset, and you can't ever have enough of it.
Couldn't agree more. Hey, Jeff, thank you for the time. I know you got
to
run.
Talking to you, man. We'll see you on
Likewise.
Sunday.
Likewise. Look forward to it.
Say hello.
All right. Absolutely. Have a great trip to New England.
Thank you.
Thanks. Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Bears, our guest, and, of course, Chicago versus the Patriots Sunday at 1 o'clock from Gillette Stadium. We'll take a timeout. Back with our final thoughts coming up on the other side here on Patriots.com.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Before Jenny met her new nephew Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com Radio.
Tom takes the step, throwing to the near side, catch is made by Vereen, and he's in for a Patriots touchdown!
Have a hot Patriots take? Call Bob on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
And we welcome you back, and this is a first for me for sure on this show. An email from Cardiff, Wales. Liam Hockey has written in with a question about the draft, and as we read Liam's email, he wants to know if it's too early to think about what the Patriots are going to do in the draft in 2015, and if it's not, what areas do we think the Patriots need to bulk up on and in the upcoming draft in 2015. Liam adds a little commentary. I feel that last year's draft was a waste of time so far, though he does hope that Jimmy, speaking of Jimmy Garoppolo, comes through. And, you know, I think to deem it a waste of time at this stage, not even a year removed, we're in the first season, of course, following the 2014 draft, is a little premature. The jury is out for some time on all draft classes. And I think for the Pats, who knows what we'll see from Zach Moore this weekend, of course, drafted late by New England, but also the offensive line. Brian Stork has come in and had an impact as a center for a couple of starts. Cameron Fleming has also made a couple of starts, drafted in the offensive, drafted in the middle rounds as an offensive lineman. So certainly there has been immediate effects on at least a couple of areas for the Pats on really the offensive line and defensive line for New England thus far. When you look at the draft and beyond that, I think we all feel pretty good about Jimmy Garoppolo's skill set and intangibles as a quarterback with an opportunity down the road, whether it's sooner or later, to prove himself, whether it's in New England or elsewhere. No doubt about it, he's been impressive thus far. But from this standpoint, it is a little early to think about the 2015 draft. I won't think about it, in fact, Liam, until after the 2014 season comes to an end. And hopefully for the Patriots, that's in February. Here's a guy that was drafted, of course, as we all know, the 199th pick in the sixth round, leading the Patriots to the three Super Bowls and back atop the AFC East. And Tom Brady, who spoke today at his usual Wednesday press conference and was asked about a throw that he made to Danny Amendola on a third and goal to go from the 19, when Brady rolled to his left and made a throw as a right-handed quarterback for a strike between a pair of defenders, enabling Amendola to make a sensational catch for a touchdown, the final score, at least a final touchdown for the Pats against the Jets last Thursday night. And it was, in many respects, the result of work invested this offseason by Brady offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels and others on essentially throwing on the move, rolling out, making plays as a quarterback, often on broken plays, something Tom Brady felt was a weakness coming into 2014. And today he talked about this, despite his success in the NFL, wanting to diminish some weaknesses and really, in a sense, learning from some other guys that have been able to do things that he has not to date in his NFL career. Brady off the shotgun step, has time, now rolling right. Tom pulls up, fires deep down the right side. There's a wide open receiver, Shane Vereen, diving, has the catch, has a touchdown, Patriots!
It's never really been something that I've been great at is, you know, extending plays. And, you know, I see so many of these players, whether it be the Russell Wilsons or Aaron Rodgers or, you know, Jay Cutler does it, Alex Smith does it. Some really mobile quarterbacks that do a great job for their team. Ben Roethlisberger's done it for a lot of years, so just trying to understand how I can help our team more. And, you know, if I could make some more of those plays, I think it would really help our team. So I try to focus on that a little bit. Coach has talked about it. And, you know, I think there could be more of those still, too. I don't think, you know, instinctually it's there for me yet, but I'm going to keep working at it. And, you know, because when you see when they happen, they end up being big plays, big momentum plays. Sometimes the defense has the initial part of the pattern covered. And then, you know, if you're able to extend the play and buy your teammates more time to get open, then it's like a whole nother play. So it's a great advantage for an offense. So like I said, this hasn't really been a strength of mine, and I'm trying to do a better job of it. So hopefully it's not as big a weakness as it's been in the past.
Five receivers for Brady. Trip to the wide side, left two receivers, right third and goal to go from the 19. Tom in the pocket. He's going to run it to his left. He throws on the move. Amendola makes a spectacular grab. What? A twisting, diving catch and a touchdown for the Patriots.
Well, I think there's mental parts and there's physical parts. I think the physical part is just to keep working on the, you know, your leg strength, your ability to, you know, move when you need to move, to be able to get away from people. I think for me, sometimes it's more of a mental issue is that, you know, I joke all the time. I said, I don't have, you know, one cell in my body that ever tells me to run. I think I just sit there and kind of go, wow, you know, I got more time to throw than usual, you know, as opposed to, you know, I see some other players that, you know, maybe their initial read's not open and bam, they're on the move. And you know, they do a great job of that. So I think there's a balance for both of those. I think, you know, being in the pocket and certainly has served me well, but I think it's also there's times where I can definitely help our team more, you know, extending plays and trying to make the defense cover for a longer period of time than they typically cover. So I'm going to keep working at it.
Tom takes the shoulder high snap, pressured from his right, runs up the middle, runs across the 10, angles left, and hits the deck with a slide inside the 8.
And look at Brady pop up. You tell me this doesn't mean anything to him? That he's become complacent 15 years into it?
It's a challenge, and I think, you know, you try to accept those things. But I don't think that – I think I'm excited about trying to make those changes as opposed to, you know, resistant. So because I realized how much it could help. And, you know, I watch a lot of other players play and go, man, I wish I could do some of those things that I just don't have, you know, the God-given ability to be able to do. But, you know, I'm trying to improve it. So, you know, and there's things I do that were God-given abilities for me that have worked really well. But I think it's a matter of balancing them out and trying to find – continuing to add – whether it's throws on the run or whether it's extending plays or whether that's, you know, learning how to quarterback sneak or, you know, things like that that end up can become strong parts of your game. And I think for me, you know, figuring out things that haven't been good that I'm trying to improve, I think that's definitely something that, you know, I want to be able to do to try to help our team score more points.
Tom Brady, that's how a guy who was drafted in the sixth round becomes one of the all-time greats and continues to get better in many ways, even late in his career. And Tom Brady has been playing at an exceptionally high level the last few weeks for the Pats, and again, still addressing areas in his game that he needs to improve on in his view. And Tom Brady today talking to the media, specifically speaking about throwing on the run and what he's seen from other guys and trying to really add another aspect to his game. And very impressive in that regard. Again, always seeking improvement, even despite his remarkable track record to date. And speaking of Tom Brady, Mark Trestman, the head coach of the Chicago Bears, again, someone who's been around a lot of the great quarterbacks, at least in recent vintage, known as quarterback whisperer. We asked him in a conference call with Patriots media, what is it that strikes him most of all about Tom Brady, the Patriots quarterback?
What can I say that hasn't been said? You know, the hyper-competitive, just talented, you know, at times just incredibly, you know, brilliant, so much of his career. And, you know, when you're on the field with somebody like that, it's just a privilege to be in the league and to be out there competing against him. He's certainly, you know, one of the best and has been one of the best for a long time.
Meanwhile, Trestman's quarterback Jay Cutler, of course, the former Denver Bronco with the Chicago Bears in year two, quarterbacking under Mark Trestman, has been a guy who ranks among the Bears' all-time franchise leaders, remarkably enough, despite his relatively short tenure with Chicago, in completions, in passing yards, in touchdowns passing. But again, it's been marked by inconsistency. We've noted how he's played in turnover-free games this season. The Bears are 3-0, but how he's played when the Bears have lost. 10 turnovers, interceptions, and fumbles lost combined in the 4 defeats for the Bears. Here's what Trestman had to say about his quarterback, Cutler.
You can see, you know, where he's improved in terms of his completion percentage, and you know we're throwing the football reasonably well. What we haven't done is we haven't done a good job collectively as an offense, starting with me, in terms of putting ourselves in a position when we in our losses to take care of the ball. And you know, I've got to do a better job with that. Our football team does, and I think with that we'll come an ascension to another level. You know, and I, you know, Jay is great in adversity. He's very, very tough guy. He's very smart. Has a very good understanding of our offense. Is continues to get better and grow. But collectively, as an offense, that's what we have to do. And when we do that, I think we'll even see, a growth in Jay. But I'm not saying we're on track. I'm saying that we certainly have seen signs that he can play very, very well. We saw it in Atlanta, and that's kind of the standard that we're looking for.
And, of course, Cutler has grown alongside Brad and Marshall, both as a Denver Bronco and a Chicago Bear. Marshall has emerged as one of the league's preeminent receivers, in addition to a part-time analyst on Showtime's Inside the NFL. But when it comes to catching the football and making plays on the field, again, he ranks among the league's elite. And Bill Belichick talked about Brad and Marshall, the big target and a favorite target of Jay Cutler's today.
It was a hard guy to match up on. You know, got great size, big catch radius, big hands, strong hands. Tough guy to bring down because of his size. Strong runner. So, yeah, he presents a lot of challenges. They have a lot of other guys, too. So, I mean, you can't just focus everything on him. You've got, you know, a great running back. You got productive tight end. You got some other productive receivers. So, they have good. They have a good offense, good system, good group of players, good skill players, veteran offensive line. Give you a lot to, you know, a lot to deal with. It's not just one guy out there.
And that great running back that Bill Belichick was talking about, Matt Forte, again, the league leader in receptions, 50-plus, fifth in the NFL in rushing yards. And since he came out of Tulane, he's been one of the more unheralded players in the National Football League. His numbers at this stage of his career, comparable to two Hall of Famers when it comes to rushing and receiving, Thurman Thomas and Marshall Faulk. Here's what Belichick had to say about Matt Forte.
He's a threat every time he steps onto the field in a number of different ways. Passing game, running game, anytime he gets the ball in his hands. He's a good, solid player. He's tough, great vision, great balance. I mean, he definitely has the ability to turn nothing into something in a hurry, and he can turn something into a lot in a hurry, too. So, hard guy to tackle, does a good job of creating space for himself and finding openings, getting to places where there are fewer defenders, and then taking advantage of it. But even when he's boxed in or guys get a shot of him, he still makes yards. I mean, he's a terrific player. Couldn't say enough good things about him. He's very good. Gets tough yards, gets yards in space. Catches short passes, runs downfield routes. I mean, he's a very, very complete player.
And, of course, Matt Forte and the Bears try to be a complete team. They've been good away from home. They have been winless at home. He spoke today with New England media about the difference home and away and finding success outside Chicagoland.
It's really no secret. You know, we've played solid football when we go in on the road, and at home it's just changed for some reason. You know, on the road we've taken care of the football pretty well. And got our defense has gotten a lot of takeaways. You know, last week on Sunday, our defense played well enough for us to win the game, but, you know, we had too many turnovers. So, for us to win the game, and after this bye week, after this game and the bye week, when we start playing some home games, we need to carry that over to our home games, too, and, play consistent football where we're not turning it over.
And again, Matt Forte and the Bears try to get back on the right track on the road against the New England Patriots, he tried to say, Sunday at 1 o'clock in a matchup of an iconic franchise in the NFL and the Chicago Bears, one that goes back to the origins of the National Football League, of course, from founder George Halas and those who began to plot the course of the NFL. The Chicago Bears, the franchise of Halas and Sayers and Ditka and Butkus, coming into New England for the 12th all-time meeting with the New England Patriots, who, of course, have developed into an iconic franchise as well. The all-time leader among the original eight AFL franchises in victories. And the Pats have enjoyed a lot of success at the expense of the NFC in recent years, 49 versus the NFC since the realignment in 2002. New England has won the last 12 games versus NFC North foes, and the Pats put those winning streaks on the line this Sunday with a 1 o'clock kickoff. It's the 5-2 Patriots against the 3-4 Chicago Bears in Week 8 in the NFL campaign. We will join you, of course, in the aftermath next Wednesday from 4 to 6 on Patriots.com to look back on the game that was between the Pats and the Bears, and then look ahead to next Sunday's matchup of the Patriots and the Denver Broncos. And as we say goodbye, our thanks to producer Kevin Collins, but especially thanks to you for logging on and tuning in. This is Bob Soucy. So long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com radio.
Sets up with a throw to the right side, catch made by Edelman, turns to the end zone, and he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone! Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots!
Bob will be back next Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. with the latest news and reaction from this week's game, as well as a preview of the Patriots' next opponent.
Hand off Ridley, runs it right. Ridley dives to the goal line. He's in again. Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com anytime to find the latest Bob Soucy Show podcasts, as well as the very latest news and information on your favorite team.
Shotgun snap to Manning. Play fake. A throw to the near side. Ball picked off by Logan Ryan. Diving break on the ball.
He's got it.
As he stepped in front of Eric Decker.
He's got it.
Patriots take over.
This place is berserk.
We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Bob Soucy Show.